I got another call.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, but he didn't answer. He said he was getting a job. He was so tickled. And, he said he was getting a job with the church. And he was so tickled about that. And I called him, and for some reason I didn't get through. I didn't want to bother him, so I didn't want to call him again. But he did text me. I'll call him again. He said that the church and he would be. This is some new stuff. Did that before. If I call somebody, it goes to music. That's ridiculous. But we're on Blog Talk Radio, so I better get started here. Sorry about that. And welcome, everyone. We are continuing with our studies of the Pentateuch, and we're looking at the book of Leviticus. And today we're going to study the book of Leviticus. We'll look at a basic outline of the book of Leviticus, and we will identify the main message or theme of the book of Leviticus. We'll look at some key words. We'll identify the revelation and promise of Christ in the book of Leviticus. It's a long book.
Talk show recorded live.
Little study and praise and worship, we will get a better understanding. And that's all we come here to do, is to get a better understanding of the Word of God and use our time, you know, advancing the kingdom and the knowledge of God so that we can ultimately become better people. So thank God.
This conference is being recorded.
He's not a dictator standing over our head saying, you better get it right. And, you know, God is a God that allows us to learn at our pace and to learn to the best of our ability. So we just thank God for that. So, again, we're studying the Pentateuch, and that's the first few books of the Bible. And we made it to Leviticus, we did Genesis, we did Exodus, and now we're here at Leviticus, which is lesson, which one is this? This is lesson number 4. There's a Bible reading report that goes with this lesson and a quiz. We can take we'll take a look at some of the questions. Before we go to the quiz, let's just go straight to the actual lesson. Okay, let me get to the chart. There we go. All right, let me open up with prayer, and we'll move right into the lesson. God, we just thank you, God. You've given us another Tuesday that we can come and praise and worship your name, Heavenly Father. If it wasn't for you, where would we be? We thank you, God, that what the devil meant for bad, we know you're using for good. We thank you, God, for each and every praying, targeted individual. We thank you, God, for each and every praying person, Heavenly Father. People who may not understand what's going on, God, but you're making it clear that there's a call on their lives. We thank you, God, for each one of us that have our parents, Amy and Ann. We thank you, God, for our seniors. Yeah. We thank you, God. This is, just listen. We're having a prayer meeting. And we thank you, God, for the miracles that you're about to do. And we bind up any type of demon spirit of confusion, any spirit that is not of God, that conflicts with the teachings, the word of God, that conflicts with peace. In the name of Jesus, God, we just praise you and we exalt you, Heavenly Father. And we ask you to bless our TI community, that people may be going through stuff, God, and they don't know how they're going to make it. Lord, let them know that you are a maymaker, that you're a provider, that you can change things, Heavenly Father, that you can open the windows of heaven. God, bless our brother Mark. Bring him closer to you, God. Open up the windows of heaven for him, God. Bind up them demons that are trying to attack him, Lord. Open up the windows that he may advance the kingdom of God, that he can become the man that you created him to come. I bind up every demon force trying to conflict him from reaching the goal that you put him here for. God, I pray that you will just each and every one of us, our sister Elka, Lord, may you bless her, Heavenly Father. Bless her bloodline, her children, her children's children. May they be covered with the blood of Jesus from head to toe, Heavenly Father, that they will, that you will do miraculous things in their lives, that you will open up the windows of heaven, that you'll have shielding over Elka, Heavenly Father. You cover her up in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, for shielding over her entire mind, body, and soul, Heavenly Father, that no demon attacks will be able to penetrate her. God, I plead the blood of Jesus on my mother's life in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you, God, to protect her, Heavenly Father, to shield the mind. We bind up any demon attacks, that you cover her, God, and I thank you for her. I thank you for the gift of longevity, Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, for the land of the living that you've allowed each and every one of us to continue to see. I thank you, God, for every rescue you brought us through when the devil thought he was taking us out, God, but we're still standing. I thank you, God, for another chance to live out the destiny that you put on our lives. I thank you and I praise you, Heavenly Father. I exalt your name, God. For you are the God above all gods. You're a sovereign God. You're a fair God. You're a just God. And I thank you, God, for allowing me, us, to be in the kingdom of God. I thank you, God, for your awesomeness, your greatness, Heavenly Father. And I thank you, God, for the miracles you're about to produce. I thank you, God, that in the midst of demons trying to assault my family left and right, that we're still standing and we're praising God, those of us who chose to be covered by the blood. So we thank you, God, for the blood. We thank you, God, for the coverage. We thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed on the cross. And we bind up every demon attack trying to do rituals to conquer, to work over the blood of Jesus. We put those rituals under our feet, and we plead the blood of Jesus on every attempt to usurp authority demons do not have, using satanic forces, using spiritual realm. We plead the blood of Jesus that every plan and plot that these demons have used will be broken. We bind up the spirit of continued usurpations. We bind up the spirit of the secrecy code. We bind up every element of the TI program from the top. We bind up the usurpations over the judiciary. We bind up ghostwriting for judicial decisions without signatures. We bind up every demon attack, trickery, scheme to defraud in the name of Jesus. And we call that stuff to be ended. We call that stuff to be exposed. We call God's people to get the use the authority that we have. We bind up the spirit of demons in heavenly places, and we call righteousness in heavenly places in the judiciary over our governance structure. We call godly people, godly leadership, and we bind every demon force trying to usurp authority they do not have in the name of Jesus, God. God, we ask you, God, for divine intervention here on earth, God, that your people will work together and let the devil know he's a liar. Do not let demon forces take over on this earth, Heavenly Father. God, bless our children, our babies, my nephews, Heavenly Father. I ask you, God, to bless them from head to toe, Heavenly Father. Cover them with the blood. Watch over them. Let the devil clearly understand he cannot have them. I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives that they will be men of God. They will serve you. They will be under the blood. They'll be covered by the blood. God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you, God, for the privilege of midday prayer. I thank you, God, for each and every faithful person in here listening, downloading, our participants, our listeners in. God, I thank you, God. I thank you for praying people across the nation. I thank you, God, for binding up demonic attempts to destroy people. I thank you, God, for tearing up human research experimentation. I thank you, God, for tearing up the TI program. I thank you, God, for binding up and covering your people that they will not fall victim of induced hospitalizations. I thank you, God, for covering us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for keep demons den. I thank you, God, for breaking up eugenics. I thank you, God, for tearing it up and tearing every demon force that allows eugenics. I thank you, Heavenly Father. God, I praise you. I exalt your name. I thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, today we're having midday prayer. And our topic of study is the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus is a long book, very interesting. And we're just going to look at an outline. And we'll take a look. And then we'll see what we know and make a comparison. I started this on Sunday night. It was so long I didn't get to the quiz, so we'll try and get to the quiz tonight. This will be a shorter version. If you want the complete Leviticus lesson, you can look at the last lesson. I think it's March 22nd. Today's March 24th. All right, Leviticus, we looked at part one of Leviticus talks about the laws of acceptable approach to God. It goes into sacrifice. Talks about the laws of approach to God when in fellowship, the laws of approach to God when out of fellowship, the laws for administering offerings, the laws of the priests, the consecration of the priesthood, the ministry of the priesthood, the failure of the priesthood. Leviticus talks about in chapter 11 the laws of Israel regarding purity, the laws concerning sanctification, the laws concerning clean and unclean food, the laws concerning childbirth, laws concerning leprosy, laws concerning discharge. And Leviticus talks about the laws of national atonement, laws concerning national cleansing through the Day of Atonement. Leviticus talks about laws concerning the use of blood, the laws of acceptable walk with God. What is sanctification? Walking with God, the laws of sanctification for God's people. Leviticus lays out the laws of sexual sin in Leviticus 18, chapters verses 1 to 30. Talks about the laws of social order, Leviticus 19, 1 through 37. The laws of penalties, Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 27. Leviticus talks about the laws of sanctification for the priesthood, Leviticus 21. Prohibited practices of the priests, Leviticus 21, 1 through 15. It talks about people prohibited from the priesthood. I didn't even realize there were people prohibited from the priesthood. That's Leviticus 21, chapters verses 16 to 24. It talks about things prohibited of the priesthood, sacrifices prohibited of the priesthood, and the purpose of the laws of the priesthood. That is all discussed in Leviticus, Leviticus 22. The laws of sanctification and worship, that's discussed in Leviticus 23. The laws of sanctified feasts, the laws of sanctified elements of worship, the laws of sanctified name of God, Leviticus 24, all of that. We have the laws of sanctification in the land of Canaan, Leviticus 25. The laws of sanctification with regards to results of obedience and disobedience in the land of Canaan. That's all Leviticus 25. We have the laws of sanctification through vows, Leviticus 27. The special consecrating acceptable things, Leviticus 27. Things excluded from consecration, Leviticus 27. And then the conclusion of Leviticus is Leviticus 27. Leviticus means ye shall be holy. The book of Leviticus is God's manual for his people on how to approach him and live pleasing in his sight. The laws of Leviticus given to the Israelites while they were encamped on Mount Sinai were the guideposts which they needed for life on the wilderness journey ahead. Sounds like a T.I., Life on the Wilderness Journey. And for settling in Canaan, ye shall be holy. T.I.'s, just look at that, ye shall be holy. Devil, no demon force can take you off course. Be holy. It pervades the book, revealing something of the awesome message which God always wants all his people to hear and obey. Exodus records how Israel became a redeemed nation, while Leviticus concerns the cleansing, worship, and service of that redeemed nation. Recordings of the Old Testament historical records. In Genesis, we have the origins of the nation. Exodus, we have the deliverance of the nation. But then when it comes to Leviticus, it talks about the life of the nation. So we looked at Genesis, the origin, and Exodus tells us how that they were delivered. And now Leviticus says, in order to maintain that deliverance, what was their life like? Then when we get to Numbers, Numbers is going to talk about when the nation is tested, the tested of the nations, the testing of the nations. And Deuteronomy will tell us that there are reminders to the nation. So, in Exodus, we saw the covenant. Exodus focuses on the covenant. Keep my covenant, that ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, Exodus 19:5-6. But when we get to Leviticus, it says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes, keep God's laws, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord, Leviticus 18:5. Those are the recordings of the Old Testament historical books. We have the Christ of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is replete with types and allusions to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Some of the more important include the five offerings listed in Leviticus. The burnt offering typifies Christ's total offering in submission to his Father's will. The meal offering typifies Christ's sinless service. The peace offering is a type of the fellowship believers have with God through the work of the cross. The sin offering typifies Christ as our guilt bearer. The trespass offering typifies Christ's payment for the damage of sin. The high priesthood of Aaron is in the Old Testament. There are several comparisons and contrasts between Aaron, the first high priest, and Jesus, our great high priest. These include Aaron as the first high priest and Christ as the first to rise from the dead. Aaron getting into the Holy of Holies. Tabernacle to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat, and Christ going to the heavenly Holy of Holies to sprinkle his own blood on the mercy seat. And then in Leviticus, we have the seven feasts of Leviticus. Passover speaks of the substitutionary death of the Lamb of God. Christ died on the day of Passover. Unleavened bread speaks of the holy walk of the believer. First fruit speaks of Christ's resurrection as the first fruits of the resurrection of all believers. Christ rose on the day of the first fruits. Pentecost speaks of the descent of the Holy Spirit after Christ's ascension. Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles speak of events associated with the second advent of Christ. This may be why these three are separated by a long gap from the first four in Israel's annual cycle. What are the keys to Leviticus? The key word is holiness. Leviticus centers on the concept of holiness of God and how an unholy people can acceptably approach him and remain in continued fellowship. The way to God is only through blood sacrifice. The walk with God is only through obedience to his laws. The word is holiness. The key verses, Leviticus 17:11 and Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. The key chapters, Leviticus 16. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was the most important single day in the Hebrew calendar, as it was the only day the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord, Leviticus 16:30. When we survey Leviticus, we find that it has been said that it took God only one night to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. in Exodus. Israel is redeemed and established as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But in Leviticus, Israel is taught how to fulfill the priestly call. The people were led out from the land of bondage in Exodus and into the sanctuary of God in Leviticus. They move from redemption to service and from service to dedication. The book serves as a handbook for the Levitical priesthood, giving instructions and regulations for worship. It is used to guide a newly redeemed people into worship, service, and obedience to God. Leviticus falls into two major sections, sacrifice, chapters 1 through 17, and sanctification, chapters 18 through 27. What is meant by sacrifice? The section teaches that God must be approached by the sacrificial offerings, by the mediation of the priesthood, by the purification of their nation from uncleanliness, and by the provision for national cleansing and fellowship. The blood sacrifices remind the worshiper that because of sin, the holy God requires the costly gift of life. The blood of the innocent sacrificial animal becomes substitute for the life of the guilty offerer. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Sanctification. The Israelites serve a holy God who requires them to be holy as well. To be holy means to be set apart or separated. That's a T.I. They are to be separated from other nations unto God. In Leviticus, the idea of holiness appears 87 times, indicating ceremonial holiness, ritual requirements, and at other times moral holiness, purity of life. This sanctification extends to the people of Israel, Leviticus 18 to 20, the priesthood, Leviticus 21, 22, the worship, Leviticus 23, 24, their life in Canaan, 25, 26, and their special vows, Leviticus 27. It's necessary to remove the defilement that separates the people from God so that they can have a walk of fellowship with their Redeemer. Okay, we have... the purpose of Leviticus. Leviticus was written to instruct the Israelites and their priestly mediators about access to God by means of atoning blood and to make clear God's standard of holiness for his chosen people. The special features of Leviticus, there are four major emphases which characterize Leviticus. Leviticus has a direct word from God. A revelation as a direct word from God is emphasized more in Leviticus than in any other book in the Bible. No less than 38 times it is explicitly stated that the Lord spoke to Moses. Okay, so other special features. One is the direct word from God through Moses. B, the sacrificial system. Instruction concerning the sacrificial system and substitutionary atonement is given in minute detail in this book. So it goes into the sacrificial system. Those are the special features of Leviticus. And then C, instruction on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16 is the foremost chapter in the Bible describing the Day of Atonement. And then D, the priestly calling. Leviticus stresses the theme that the people of Israel were to fulfill their priestly calling through lives of spiritual and moral purity, separation from other nations, and obedience to God. What are some of the subjects in Leviticus? God's holiness and man's sinfulness is compared in Leviticus. The inescapable fact of God's holiness and man's sinfulness is the universal basic problem confronting all people. The entire message of Leviticus is directed to this. The book's good news is that there is atonement and cleansing for man's sin to redeem him to God, and daily fellowship with God is possible for those who obey his instructions. Keep in mind as we read the Bible text. And then the other important stuff. So the first important subject is God's holiness and man's sinfulness. Then we have laws from God are displayed thoroughly in Leviticus. Leviticus is the most thoroughly legalistic book in the Bible. The many laws which appear in the pages are of different kinds. We have general and specific laws. We have ceremonial laws. We have social laws, moral laws, temporal laws, and timeless, punitive, and reparation laws. All the laws of Leviticus were designed by God for his glory and for man's good. Paul wrote that the law had become a tutor to lead us to Christ so that we would be justified by faith. God's law shows man his corruption and is intended to bring conviction of sin. Interesting. Okay, let's take a look. We have the offering, the laws for offering, the laws for meals, the laws for peace, the laws for sin, and the laws for trespass. Those are called the offering reference. The first offering that the laws for that is discussed is about the burnt offering. We have that in Leviticus 16:1-13, Numbers 28:3-15, Deuteronomy 33:8-10, Psalms 40:6, Ephesians 5:2, Hebrews 10:5-6. In the burnt offering, what was offered was a choice of bullock, lamb. Now, they have kid. That bothered me. I sure hope it wasn't a child. What was offered? Choice of bullock, lamb, kid, turtle, doves, pigeons, or ram. And they had to be male only. The procedure presented at the door, hand laid on head, killed, blood sprinkled, carcass cut in pieces, laid on altar, and all burned, hide given to the priest. Types and remarks, sweet savor offering, typical of Christ's entire obedience to the Father, given wholly to him, spread out unreservedly in entire consecration, typical also of our entire dedication to God. All was for God, and he took unqualified delight in such an offering, the offerer, by personally killing and flaying, skinning the sacrifice provisionally, identified himself with the offering. Various offerings revealed degrees of faith. Even a very small measure availed. Distinctive feature, holy consumed. So that was the burnt offering. Then they had the meal offering. There was, what was offered was fine flour, oil, frankincense, salt, green ears of corn. And the procedure was a handful of flour and oil and all frankincense burnt. Priest received offering either in oven, baked in pan, or baked in skillet. The sweet savor offering signifying dedication of one's life to God, typical of Christ's perfect humanity, anointed with the Holy Spirit. He perfectly fulfilled his ordained work. The offering speaks more of person of Christ rather than of Calvary. The meal offering normally accompanied the peace offering. Distinctive feature was that the meal offering was bloodless. Then we had the peace offering. For the peace offering, they used the choice of bullock, lamb, or goat, either male or female. They presented hands laid on head, killed, blood sprinkled, fat burned. The offerer ate remainder in the sanctuary. It was a sweet savor offering depicting Christ making peace between God and man. The offering furnished a table so that God and man could fellowship together. It was not an atoning sacrifice, but a joyous celebration of peace. An offering not to achieve peace because of peace. This offering teaches that the means of entrance into communion and fellowship with God is by sacrifice. Distinctive feature, the offerer feasted. Then the next sacrifice was, the next offering reference is sin. That's in Leviticus chapter 4 and chapter 5, verses 1-13. The choice of, what was offered. It says choice of bullock, kid, oh, I hope that's not. Wild turtle, dove, pigeons, or fine flower. It was presented hands on, head killed, killed, blood sprinkled, burned outside the camp. Offering depended upon one's status, whether he was a ruler, priest, etc. And this was used, the sin offering was atonement for man's sinful nature, sin expiated by a substituted life. Blood emphasized this was the first offering in the approach to God, typical of Christ who died without the camp He denied the presence of God because he became sin. The person of the offerer was of importance. The grade of offering depended upon the degree of responsibility of the offerer, but could be male or female. The distinctive feature was expiation for sin. And then finally, the next offering. So we looked at the types of offerings that are discussed in Leviticus. We have burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and now the final one is the trespass. That's in Leviticus 5:15. And what is used here is the ram plus restitution money. And that is, the procedure is the same as the burnt offering, fat only burned at altar, remained burned either without the camp or eaten by priests on Day of Atonement. Restitution was principal plus one-fifth given injured one or priest. Atonement for man's grievance of the government of God speaks of particular transgression and special acts of sin. Shortcoming or defilement is of concern rather than offer his person. Typical of Christ's work in satisfying God's demands of justice and righteousness, atonement made the foundation of restitution. Neither the trespass nor the sin offering was a sweet savour offering. Sin is not sweet to God. Distinctive feature of the trespass offering is that it emphasized reparation and restitution for sin. So then they go into the five offerings. The five offerings described in Leviticus were the major offerings of the Israelites' worship service listed in what each offering meant to the people according to the specifications of Leviticus. The burnt offering was a voluntary devotion of all their very being and possessions to God through purifying fire. An Israelite sacrificing an animal leaned on the animal, signifying that he was identifying himself with the animal as it stood in his place. This act expressed the idea of substitution. When an animal died, it was as if the person who brought it also died, yet remained alive to serve God. Similarly, Christians entrust themselves to Christ and become one with him in his death. They are thus called on to live as people risen from the dead and to present themselves as living sacrifices to God. Romans 12:1, Hebrews 13:15. The Hebrew term for burnt offerings means that which goes to God. The entire offering was burned up, signifying that complete consecration to God was essential to true worship. At the same time, forgiveness was involved, emphasizing that before worshipers could devote themselves to God, they had to be cleansed from sin. According to the writer of Hebrews, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the burnt offering. The meal offering, this was a thank you offering to God, an offering of their lives for his service. The grain offering was a gift presented to God as an act of worship, symbolizing the dedication to God, the fruit of a person's labor. It is implied that all human work should be done for the Lord and that one's daily food should be received with thanksgiving to him. Yeast and honey were forbidden on the altar because they were used to aid fermentation. Change, decomposition, or decay often symbolized evil. Then the peace offering, which is in Leviticus chapter 3:1-17. This offering was participation in the blessings of fellowship with God. This offering has also been called the fellowship offering. That's the peace offering. It was brought before God in order to have fellowship with him, to express thanksgiving, to make a vow. Leviticus 7:12-16. For the offerer, it involved commitment to the covenant and celebrated peace and reconciliation between God and the worshiper. This offering points forward to the peace and fellowship that believers have with God and other believers on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. And then to the final communion when we will all sit down with God in his kingdom. Then we have the sin offering, Leviticus 4:1. The people needed towing forgiven because they were sinners. God required a sin offering in order that those who sinned in ignorance, in weakness, or even unintentionally, they could receive forgiveness. Deliberate, defiant sins, on the other hand, were to be punished by death. Numbers 15:30, Hebrews 10:20. guilt offering, similar to the sin offering, was used for those who were guilty of a sin or injury for which full restitution could be made, Leviticus 6:2. Sin offerings were necessary for ritual cleansing as well, Leviticus 12:6. The sin offering foreshadows Christ's atoning death and his bearing the punishment of our sins. His death, however, was infinitely more perfect than the Old Testament sin offering in that it provided a single atonement for all sin. Ephesians 1:7, Hebrews 9:11-12. We, as New Testament believers, continually need Christ's atoning blood to cover mistakes, weaknesses, and unintentional fallings that flow from the frailty of human nature. Psalms 19:12. Sins coming from rebellious disposition against God and His Word, however, will bring us under judgment and spiritual death unless we confess them and repent through renewed faith in Christ's atonement. Hebrews 2:3. Then the trespass offering was being forgiven for the sins they committed. The trespass or guilt offering was a mandatory atonement for unintentional sin, which also required restitution. That is, the person who sinned was required to repay in various amounts and manners according to the sin. It included cleansing from defilement, making restitution, and paying the 20% fine over and above tuition. The element of the offering was a ram or lamb. Then the Christian message of Leviticus offering, they just go into the basic offerings, was the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass. The burnt offering, the key word could be, is consecration. One presented himself to the Father to do his will through the burnt offering. The meal offering is an example of Christian service. He served his Father and men as Son of Man. The peace offering is Christian demonstration of fellowship, showing that God is the common bond of fellowship between God and man. Then the sin offering represents to the Christian redemption for the sinner that he is. And it shows that he atoned for the guilt of sin. The trespass offering shows to the Christian redemption for the sin he commits, that he atoned for the damage. Offerings were expected from the people to God, particularly the priesthood, which is discussed in Leviticus chapters 8 to 10. The integration of the Old Testament priestly ministry, it began a new era in Israel's career. God at this time, through clear and unmistakable signs, symbols, and events, daily showed forth his righteousness, grace, and glory. The priests served, especially as mediators, to help maintain fellowship between the holy God and a sinful people. Aaron and his four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, were chosen by God to be Israel's first priests, Exodus 28. The qualifications of the priestly office matched the awesome responsibility which rested upon the priest's shoulders. It's not surprising, therefore, that five chapters of Leviticus, Leviticus 8 to 10 and Leviticus 21 to 22, they are devoted to the consecration and holy disciplines of their ministry. The Messianic typology of the Old Testament priesthood is rich, as reading Hebrews 8 through 1. The one sinless eternal mediator between God and man is Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews devotes many pages to exalt him in his office. We have such a high priest. We have the Day of Atonement that's discussed in Leviticus. A major focus. The Day of Atonement was the most important day of Israel's calendar, for it was then that the idea of atonement for sin reached its highest expression. Sin and burnt offerings were part of the day's ritual. Only on this day could the high priest enter into the most holy place of the tabernacle. This was the only day of the year for which fasting was required, in bold contrast to the atmosphere of rejoicing that attended the annual feast. On no other day were the Israelites more strongly impressed with the grace of God in forgiving all their sins. The gospel of this day was a bright prophetic sign of the coming gospel of the event of Calvary when Jesus would sacrifice himself for the sins of man once and for all. The Day of Atonement is the peak of Leviticus. The word atonement means to cover. It comes from Hebrew, which means to cover over. It has the idea of covering sin by making an equivalent payment or ransom so that the adequate recompense is made for the offense. Exodus 30:12, Numbers 35:31. The need for atonement for sin. The need for atonement arose from the fact that Israel's sin, Leviticus 16:30, if not atoned for, would subject them to God's wrath, Romans 1:18. Thus, the purpose of the Day of Atonement was to provide a comprehensive sacrifice for all sins that may not have been atoned for in the sacrifices offered throughout the preceding year. Thereby, the people would be cleansed from their sins of the past year. They would avert God's wrath. They would avert God's wrath towards them and maintain God's fellowship with them. Leviticus 16:30-34. Hebrews 9:7. The way of salvation is furnished because God desired to save the Israelites, forgive their sins, and reconcile them to himself. He furnished the way of salvation by accepting their place, the death of an innocent life, the animal sacrifice. This animal bore their guilt and penalties, covered over their sins by its shed blood. The ritual of the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16. It describes the Day of Atonement, which was the most important day of the Jewish year. On this day, the high priest, they clad in sacred garments, they first prepared themselves by bathing themselves with water. Then before making atonement for the sins of the people, he had to offer a bull for his own sins. Next, he took two goats and cast lots. One became the sacrifice, the other became the scapegoat. He filled first goat, took its blood, entered the most holy place behind the curtain, and sprinkled the blood on the atonement cover, placing the blood between God and the tablets of the law that were inside the ark, laws they had broken but that were now covered by the blood, thus making atonement for the sin of the entire nation. As a final step, he took the live goat, he laid his hands on its head, confessed over it all the forgiven sins of the Israelites, and then he sent it away into the desert, symbolizing that their sins were carried out of the camp to disappear in the desert. That's why Elka kept telling me about the camp, right. The Day of Atonement was not a feast day. The Day of Atonement was to be solemn assembly, a day in which people fasted, and they humbled themselves before the Lord, Leviticus 16:31. This response emphasized sin's seriousness and the fact that God's atoning work was effective only for those who had repentant heart and a preserving faith, Leviticus 23:27, Numbers 15:30. Repetition of the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement accomplished atonement for all sins and transgressions not atoned for during the previous year. It had to be repeated every year in the same manner. Holy times are discussed. Yeah, I'm here. I lost my... Oh, holy times were discussed in Leviticus 23-25. God instituted holy times in the calendar of the Israelites so that his people would set aside many days of the year to meditate on who he was and what he had done for them. They had a wholesome, positive purpose about them to emphasize that believers were to be separated unto the Lord as well as separated from evil. What the Israelites learned and experienced and